You, Bo? I hear you, bees. Well, welcome, Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science on Energy Show, Tan Talk 1340 AM and FM radio. And bbsradio.com. Last night we had Steve on, my old sidekick, who has his own show now, very successful. And today is going to be a very interesting one. This is about my X-Files stuff. So you're going to get a big kick out of this one. Hoo-hoo. So, anyway, the X-Files is a good one. We're looking forward now. We're in 2008, and, of course, we're going to be having some amazing guests on this year. This network, of course, is growing quite a bit. So without any further ado, let's get this rolling because this is a long one. It's in two parts, just tonight and next Saturday night. Rock and roll. Where's Dr. Bell? He'll be on in a minute. You watch. Watch how cool this is. It's transition here. Oh, boy. So many Dr. Bells around there.
Good morning, Vietnam.
Yeah, actually, good morning, Vietnam. In Kosovo, you know, right now, but
Dr. Fred Bell, who's standing over here quipping, has a group of files, I suppose, in his office from which, and the files he has are true stories that really happened. And some of those files have been rewritten into shows on a show you probably have seen called The X-Files. He has been a consulting engineer for NASA. Woo! That doesn't impress me. You know what impresses me? He's grinning.
What else can he do in Chicago?
That means he loves people.
Smile and bear it, baby.
Tell you what we're going to do, Doctor. We're going to give you till 10 o'clock. We're going to let some people leave if they need to drive home or go to bed. And then if you want to hang around longer, some of us may want to hang around longer. We'll do it some more. How's that sound?
That scares me.
How about a wonderful round of applause for the last speaker of the day, Fred Bell.
Thank you, Fred Bell. What am I supposed to do up here anyway, you know? Am I supposed to talk in these or that? Test one, two, three. I get to walk. Oh, this is better. Oh, this is much better. This now I can feel myself getting back into my body after traveling a couple thousand miles today. So where are you guys from? Around here, everybody? You're all aliens, right? Lots of aliens. Yeah. My first question I need to ask you is, well, you know, when you go into the ER ward, and you're in an accident or something, and your oxygen is not going to your brain, right? That's a real concern, isn't it? Because if those brain cells die, then what happens is, when the brain does start to work again, if it ever worked in the first place, right? Balance that, Mike. Oxygen is very important, right? Now, how many of you know what amber is? Amber, that brown stuff, you know. Yeah, it's sap. Well, scientists looked at amber a few years ago and determined that a million years ago, this planet had 50% oxygen. That's a big 5-0. Okay. Our bodies are oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen. I'll repeat that. Oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. Carbon being the pyramid, like it's on here. Okay. The pyramid tells through consciousness how these atoms should hook up to our bodies and produce cells, right? For example, you know, in that process, we have a thing called DNA. Everybody knows what DNA is? DNA is a mixture of four amino acids that combines over and over again to produce cells in your body. This is very important to understand. So that, through the hydrogen atom, which is your consciousness, tells your body how to behave. Your consciousness comes to your body through the hydrogen atom via DNA. Oxygen animates your body. In other words, to be in your body. You ever notice some people around the world, or around here, even your friends, they're just kind of like they're having a total out-of-body experience and not even on drugs. They're just like not there. There's nobody home. Okay. That means they're not getting oxygen into their bodies. Okay. Nitrogen, the other one, is what's responsible for taking our enzymes and our protein that we digest daily and making cells in our bodies, responsible for the mass of the body. If you are a rocket scientist like I was, you would have taken nitrogen and you'd make dynamite or explosives out of it. You can go either way with that one. You know, you need oxygen to ignite it, but nitrogen is the big builder here. So you begin to understand a little bit about our bodies. Now, going back to a million years ago, having only 50% oxygen, we go back to World War II. World War II, we look at how much oxygen was on the planet then, because it was measured daily, as we do even now. We had 34%. Today, we have between 17% and 7% oxygen on this planet. Okay? Obviously, we lose direction right away. How many of you use your turn signals today? How many of you observed somebody not able to use their turn signals because they forgot what they were here for? You start to get the picture about consciousness. And this is the way this world functions. It really functions this way. Basically, it's becoming dysfunctional. Now, I've been working on this planet for a little while, not very long. I started out in the late 40s at the University of Michigan, working on experiments with telepathy and things that in the CIA today they call remote viewing, which the Indians did hundreds of years ago before on the ginseng weed and all these kinds of things. We developed technologies years ago to increase and project our consciousness. I wrote a book recently. It's called Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light. And the book is a story of it begins with the crash at Roswell and all of the cover-ups that took place after the crash. How many of you remember the crash at Roswell? I've heard something about it. About half of you. That's good. Either that or the other half, your arms are too heavy to raise this late at night. I don't know. But anyway, Jesse Marcel went out there and he said the first day he admitted this was a crash. He admitted it. The next day, they came out, the Air Force came out and flat denied that this crash took place as an alien thing. It was, everything from the weather balloon to today, the Air Force calls it debris from a radar experiment, high altitude. Bottom line is, what made them change their mind was that night they found a second crash, the night of the first crash, and on it was a whole bunch of human body parts. It was a much larger ship. The first one was about a 30-footer crashed. The second one was 100 feet across. Had a lot of human body parts on it. Freaked out a lot of folks. So as a result, Major 12, was created to cover up this crash. And you know the rest of the history. Well, I don't have I brought some slides with me. I don't know if I'll get a chance to do a workshop or not, but on my slides, I have a picture of the radar that I used to work on when I was in the United States Air Force, the 776th Aero Squadron, Point Arena, California. Matter of fact, I was there last weekend. The paramount, or the tantamount place to that was the Montauk, Preston Nichols. I may have heard of Montauk, okay, and all the things that happened up there with time. Those radars were early warning radars, and their development of them, of which I have pictures of, including the development phases, took place in the Los Alamos, Alamogordo Valley of New Mexico back in the late 40s. During this time, we had already dropped the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and we were very paranoid that the Russians would be doing the same to us, because the Cold War was in its very beginnings at that time. So we developed these radars. There were 5-megawatt sets called SAGE systems. These SAGE systems were tested up and down the Alamogordo Valley, as we've tested some of the Star Wars project stuff that I also worked on. And in these testing processes, these little alien visitors from Theta Reticuli 3 called Greys were spying on us, they're checking us out, and their systems interacted with the radar beams and they caused these crashes. Now, the interesting thing was, and when I go into the nuclear receptor, which I'll demonstrate after a while, is that we go into what's called DNA frequency. In other words, DNA is these amino acids that are repeating themselves, 4 basic amino acids, two sugars, 2 phosphates, that repeat themselves through a chain to make all of the cells in our body. But if you string that chain out at birth, you end up with a 39-centimeter, a 3-foot-long strand. If you take a piece of wire and strand that out at 39 inches, you end up with a wavelength of about 375 to 425 megahertz, which is exactly the frequency of these SAGE radars that they operated in those days. So on top of, you know, having a radar system that we developed in this country, using them in different SAGE sites like Montauk and Point Arena where I worked, we also had another factor where they affected DNA and caused people to have interdimensional experiences within their own time frames. Okay? A dimension could be defined as a sub-astral portal within a separate, with its own time zone. Sub-astral planes with their own time zones are what dimensions are. It has nothing to do with parallel universes. It has to do with projecting mass or energy up beyond the speed of light. I do a lot of work. I was a particle physicist for a number of years. And we did a lot of work with the hydrogen atom, which I mentioned earlier. Remember that? We talk about oxygen, talk about hydrogen. The hydrogen atom is responsible for bringing to you 7 levels of consciousness. 7 of them, okay? In your body, to make sure that these 7 levels of consciousness are able to manifest something to your brains, you have 7 different endocrine glands, 7 endocrine glands, that have inside of them a thing called hormones. Hormones are made up of minerals, enzymes, and proteins combined to make hormones, and they're in your body. Now, how many of you, when you hear the frame 7 levels of consciousness, you hear it, but it doesn't really relate? Be honest. Show me how many you've heard of it, but it doesn't relate. A lot of it doesn't relate, right? It doesn't relate until you go into this next expression. Ask yourselves, what's better than a good feeling? Anything? Can you name something better than a good feeling? Because I'm behind you to experience that right now. Okay? Feelings are your key, your ticket to understanding consciousness. Now, we say we have 7 levels of consciousness. We have 7 different levels of feeling also. The 6th level of consciousness, we'll start there. And by the way, each level of consciousness is represented by a color. Red from the top, the egoic, to violet, which is the bottom, the physical plane. Musical notes A, B, D, C, E, F, and G. So we have sound, we have light that represent similarities of this level of consciousness. Now, at night when you're dreaming, you're on the astral plane. How many of you in here have never dreamed? So you've all been on the astral plane then. You're on that. You're on there, you're cruising, you're having a great dream, you're having a great experience. And all of a sudden, something goes off in your body, and boom, you wake up. Regardless of whether that dream is finished, you might have just won the lottery, and you got to go claim the lottery number. You're just focusing on that. And suddenly you wake up. When you wake up, you have automatically, through hormonal release, gone from the 6th level of consciousness, the astral plane, to the 1st level of consciousness, which is the will. Now think about it, the will. The will is a level of consciousness. It's represented by red. It's in your pineal pituitary glands. It makes you wake up. Why do you wake up? Because you're experiencing a level of consciousness. If you don't wake up, then you're going to be on the astral plane permanently until you're reincarnating again, because you obviously died in your sleep, right? Very simple. It's not too complicated. Think about that. The will. The will to get out of bed and go shoot your neighbor. The will to get out of bed and make love to your wife. The will to go out and go to work and make money. Whatever the hell your reason is, it's the will. That's the level of consciousness. Because it's a feeling and it's different from the dream state. Nobody shoves you into this dream. You're already there, but suddenly the will allows you to wake up. So then you get out of bed and maybe you have children and a little child comes up to you. And you feel the love of that child. That's love. It's attraction. That's the heart chakra. Second ray, second level of consciousness. The child didn't wake you up. Maybe they did, but it shouldn't have. But you might have already been awake before the child came in. But the fact is you feel something when the child comes towards you. You didn't feel in the dream, or it didn't tell you to wake up. You feel that attraction. Or you look out your window and they're jackhammering the street and you have this hate for what's going on out there. It's the opposite of that, you know, love, hate. So that's the second level of consciousness, the blue ray, the modanic force. You know, a lot of people don't experience these feelings I'm talking about. They really don't. They get parts of it. And you start to think. You sit up in bed, you get out of bed, you felt the love, and you start to think, and you're thinking. The thinking is the intellect. Female energy, believe it or not. Female energy, the logic. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize there's male and female energy here, you know. That is the intellect, third ray, the modanic rays, green, thyroid gland. People that can't process that have thyroid problems, weight problems, all kinds of problems go on with that. So then you leave your house and you get in your car, and you're driving down the street, and just today you say, you know, I normally go down that street to get to work, but intuitively, I'm not going that way. Make a detour. Intuition made you make a change. Thank God you made that detour, because on that day the street was tore up, there was an accident, whatever. And so intuitively, you made a change. Another level of consciousness. All these things I'm mentioning to you are levels of consciousness. You know, when I studied with Tibetan masters and they said seven levels of consciousness, I couldn't relate to that. Oh yeah, well, we could have 25 for all I could. Then they got the endocrine glands down and I got to thinking about it. At the same time, with that same level of intuition, on the lower level, you see somebody have an accident or go through a frustration, you think about that might have happened to you, you feel it right here as compassion, because this is the organs that we're dealing with. Intuitiveness and compassion are in the same space, same level of consciousness. And then we go down to the number six, which is the dream state, and then we go down to number seven, which is getting it on and making kids, right? Physical plane. Those are levels of consciousness. Without hormones in your body, you cannot experience in fullness any one of those levels. And most people don't. Most people are stripped of some of them. Some of them are stripped of all of them. Some are stripped of partially. And you begin to look around, and you see people that lack compassion. Let's go out and sue somebody. Lack of intuitiveness. Well, it should have been this way. It's your fault. Denial. You see all these things that happen in our country. And you'll start to understand these levels of consciousness are not fulfilled themselves within our body. This is what the grays, you know, after Roswell, after those crashes, we had another crash in 1951, and Dr. Mendoza from Johns Hopkins University, an Air Force colonel, went in to Wright-Patterson, where this particular entity was, you know, stationed. And he was alive. And they began to study this entity, and they called it EBE, Extraterrestrial Biological Entity. Ernesto Mendoza from Johns Hopkins gave this termination to the first person that they could keep alive for a year. The Air Force colonel that worked with him brought in his squadrons, and they began to fly. And actually, the pilots began to hang out with EBE and learn telepathy. This is back in about 1952. This is when the CIA and the KGB and MI5 were doing a lot of mind control experiments. Albert Hofmann had proven LSD in 1947. They had started using phencyclidine for experiments in mind control, which later was known as PCP, which they never tranquilized any animals with. It was developed at an army base in Little Rock, Arkansas, and came out down there through a homosexual community as a love drug. Later on, got in the 60s and 70s into our society, but originally it was for psychological research as a spinoff of Hoffman's experiments at Surly years ago. And so these things went on. So the Air Force then educated its pilots to make contact telepathically with these different spaceships that were occurring in the Four Corners areas, which is in Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, and Utah. That's the Four Corners. In 1954, President Eisenhower, on February 18th, went out to Muroc Field, which is called Edwards Air Force today, and made a pact with these extraterrestrials to give them sanctuary in exchange for technology on different places in the world, including Bentwaters, England, Dulce, New Mexico, and Tonopah, Nevada, which we'd call Area 51 or Groom Lake. These are the places where all this technology began. And these grays began to instigate a policy. And you, here's where you get the catch-22, because in the catch-22, you look at Revelation today in the Bible. It describes the plagues, describes the great white throne judgment day. And you start to understand what's coming down. Well, the grays decided to orchestrate that through human consciousness and take away the consciousness of the world in a very subtle level. And the government quietly followed along with a total disinformation policy to make all of this not appear real. Okay? This is what happened. Now, let's look at something else. Let's look at the reality of life. In the reality of life, we're all immortal. But until we stand up and put the Ten Commandments back into the school system and start standing up and putting God back in our lives, we're going to have a whole lot of schoolyard shootings. Okay? I just came back from Littleton with Al Gore. I'm a California congressional state chairman for the subcommittee on business advisory. I serve in the Congress as we speak. I'm not a big speaker back there, but I carry a great big giant silent stick, and they don't know what they got when they brought me in. But the fact is, I'm in there. And we start looking at this. Well, we better start bringing some things back into life. We better start understanding the immortality of our souls and the possibility of reincarnation. We're all sitting here, and we have electric systems in our body called nervous systems. We have the autonomic system in our body, which is firing off synapses in the brain. I did a lot of studies on the firing off of synapses in the brain at the end of World War II. I worked with the University of Michigan on experiments in Japan whereby we saw people that were very close to ground zero. Now, both bombs that blew up in Hiroshima and Nagasaki were small kiloton bombs by today's standards, blowing off at 800 feet over the ground level. That kind of a level will take out more people and more damage to everything. If we want to take out a population, we blow the bomb off a lot higher today and get over an ocean and put a radioactive sweep in and leave the building standing. If we want to dig the buildings out, we do it off the ground level and just sweep everything out. This shows 800 feet. Bottom line is that we had people that were suffering a lot of neurological damage that were very far away from the bomb. Then we had people that were right at ground zero within a few miles that got huge amounts of radiation and no permanent damage, no DNA damage. And so what we did is we did studies with them. We found out that the people that handled the radiation, like the ultraviolet today, for example, had large amounts of electrolytes in their brain. So we looked into that and we said, what are electrolytes? Well, now we know what electrolytes are. These are the little solutions like in the battery of your car that when you turn the ignition switch, connect electrons to your starter motor from the solution in your battery. Those are electrolytes. These are the things in your body when the hormone comes from a level of consciousness to stimulate something, that turn on synapses in your brain to send electrical currents down through your spine to give you an electromagnetic field to allow your aura or your life to happen. And we found that the people in Nagasaki and Hiroshima had that, you know, could handle the radiation, had large amounts of electrolytes, and we looked into their diet was fotai, ginseng, and gotu-kola. Three different herbs. Fotai, ginseng, and gotu-kola. Matter of fact, fotai, if you take enough of it and you got gray hair, it'll turn black. How strong it is. It's that strong. I began using that in my formulas years ago. I formulate for countries all over the world. And just while we're on this subject, before we go back to where we were, let's talk about your immune system, because we're dealing with the immune system now. Okay? The immune system is your consciousness. If you're sick, you're not going to be sitting here listening to me. And even if you are sitting here listening to me, you're probably sick anyway, but that's another story. Right? But if you feel, and I make fun of myself because I'm a fool, I know it. But I admit it, I'm not in denial. That's one thing that I'm not on this planet is in denial. So if you start coming down with a sickness, a sore throat, whatever it is, right, that's your immune system going down, okay? Now, what is happening is your RNA, there's RNA or viruses and bacteria, are attacking your DNA. They're taking out of your DNA your life force. They take it right away from you. Why are they taking it? Why are you allowing this to happen? Because you've had too many beers, you've had too many steaks, you've partied too hard, who knows why, but you have allowed your DNA frequency to escape your soul frequency, and it's out of control, so your body's going through what's called an involuntary cleanse, and you have, i.e., the symptoms of some kind of a clinical disorder. Probably if I did a bio on your body, I would see lots of pathogens in there. You know, we have antigens and pathogens. So the bottom line is, you have this attack. So you say to yourself, boom. Well, I'm going to run down to the health food store for the miracle cure. What's that going to be? If you go down to the health food store, what do most people go for when they start to get sick? Vitamin C, right? Yeah, well, that's more later on in echinacea, a glycoside. Vitamin C is the wrong thing to get because you're feeding the invader. Your body does not absorb nutrition like that when you're sick. It doesn't. It doesn't absorb anything. You have to go to the core of your consciousness, and then your body will fight back. Your body's 5% mineral. What you want to put in your body is not vitamin C. You want to put chromium picolinate in your bodies. Any AIDS patient will tell you that. That builds helper T cells immediately. Helper T cells are the white blood cells that fight off and bring your consciousness back. At least 8 hours of chromium picolinate. Then you can take vitamin A and vitamin C. If you're one of these people that doesn't take vitamins normally, as heard because your friends take vitamin C, and you run down to the health food store and grab vitamin C, and you don't take anything, you're doing the same thing to your body that a doctor would do if you had a viral infection and he prescribed an antibiotic. You're going for super infection. Now what's going to happen is you're feeding that alien invader because you haven't got your consciousness back, you haven't rescued it, and so as a result, you're going to get really sick. You're going to say to your friends later, man, these sore throats that are going around, they lasted 6 weeks, you know. Well, you could have knocked it out in 24 hours with chromium picolinate. People don't understand nutritional values and how they make their bodies work. Very interesting stuff, isn't it? Very interesting stuff. I practice this all over the world. I get pretty good results by using minerals. I became a mineral manufacturer. How many of you in here take trace minerals, just out of curiosity? Oh, that's a bunch. How many of you know the history of trace minerals? Anybody know the history of trace minerals? A little bit? Well, how many of you know what the worst feared disease was at the turn of the century? Now, we're sitting here not fearing anything but AIDS today, but in those days, what was the worst disease that took everybody out? Does anybody know? Well, a pneumonia because of arthritis, as pneumonia versus AIDS. The turn of the century, arthritis was a big problem. It took a lot of people out. They lived to their early 50s and died from it, from complications from arthritis, believe it or not. In 1927, there was a geologist living up in Utah, and the Paiute Indians up there took him out. He had very serious arthritis, The Indians had a long lifespan, by the way. They could even smoke tobacco. They gave it to us and not get cancer because they didn't put preservatives in it, by the way. Throw that in. So anyway, the Paiute Indians took this retired geologist to the stream and says, drink this water and your arthritis will go away. He drank the water, the arthritis went away. Then he was curious and he followed the stream up to a spring and he found this gray material which we call today leonardite, which is a 2,000-year-old rainforest with all these minerals in it, and he started taking that. And today, the science of that experience with him created all of our trace mineral formulas on this entire planet. The only difference between formulas is the extraction process and the efficiency of what trace minerals go into your body. So you begin to understand this kind of stuff. So going back to the grays now, okay, I don't want to space you out too much, because I'm pretty spaced myself. But as the grays came along, you know, they started to put this, remember we're orchestrating revelation here, process to keep them hidden, they began to put things in motion. They taught our government how the deception of the ozone layer. The ozone layer, how many of you have ever heard of the Global 2000 report in here? Any of you? A few. It's put together by 44 different countries, 19 different federal agencies. I helped distribute it all over the world. The Global 2000 report clearly spells out that high-flying jet aircraft are responsible for the destruction of the ozone layer, which then brings in ultraviolet. But if you're taking your photogenic and go to COA, you're exhibiting what we call auric offset, and so it doesn't matter how much UV rays you get because you'll be able to process them into energy. But most people don't do that, so they get stricken down by them because then these UV rays produce what are called free radicals in the body. The same thing you get in the morning when you start eating a lot of bacon, you know, with all the nitrites in there, free radicals come from that too, you know. So depending on whether you're getting it from the bacon or the up there, depends on how you keep your consciousness flying. So from that, they did a lot of research, and we did a lot of research, and we started doing some nasty things to society. Now, I spent about 20-some years lecturing with the National Health Federation. We used to come over here to Rosemont for years. Some of you probably seen me over there. And one of the things we did was we got you the right to have legalized vitamins, so you don't have to get a prescription. And by the way, if they would have ever gotten away with their trip, i.e. the government, the FDA, of making things prescription-wise, you would have been getting synthetics. Now, synthetics, what are those? Well, you can take chemically and take a synthetic vitamin, like a vitamin C, and put it on Carilion photography, which shows the life force. And you can take a natural, which shows the life force. The natural exhibit a seven-color, seven-energy hydrogen atom expression of consciousness because vitamins are the first unit of biochemistry to possess consciousness, you know. You'll see that, but pretty soon, if you have them side by side, the synthetic starts to absorb and go in, take the natural out, and absorb it. So the synthetic steals the nutritional value of the natural vitamin. Now, you walk in your stores, walk down there and, you know, how many of you guys know what calcium does when you get to be our age? What's the biggest use of calcium in your body? Anybody know? Produces actin, heartbeat, beep, 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 heartbeat, actin, enzyme actin. How do you get calcium in your body? You can have the most beautiful source of calcium in the world, but it won't go in if you have unless you have one key ingredient. What's that? D, vitamin D. Used to, where'd you get vitamin D? Sun. 1 square inch, 18 international units of vitamin D before all this stuff happened. So, let's take a trip down to the health food store. That's my favorite, or any store. We walk into the dairy section, okay? Now, first of all, give you a warning about the dairy section. If you are a lactating female, you are 9 months pregnant with breast milk, and you go from, we in Illinois, right? We're not in Indiana. Go from here to Michigan. When you cross the state line as a 9-month pregnant female with breast milk, the FDA can arrest you for two reasons. Carrying a radioactive substance, cesium-90 and strontium-90, cesium-60 and strontium-90, breast milk, because and DDT across the state line. That's a fact. You wonder why we have cancer of the mammary glands, cancer of the prostate? because that's where it filters out, baby. Think about that, you know. So that's your radiation levels on this planet. Now, why do we have radiation levels? Well, let's see, back in World War II, we did two bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and after that we did 988 more bombs. And the half-life of all this stuff that we did in the atmosphere happens to be about 3,000 or 4,000 years. And we just swept it under the table. You're all hot in here. You guys are all radioactively, you're cooking, trust me. You got to learn to process it. That's the only way of getting around it is processing, okay? This is facts. So, with that in mind, we go back to the store, and we look, oh, here we are at the dairy department. You know, the cows are putting out radioactive milk. It's no big deal. Vitamin D fortified. But we look at what the fortified is. It's a synthetic. Calcium fortified. Vitamin A fortified. All chemicals. Synthetics. So we drink the milk. It steals the vitamin D from our body. It steals the calcium. Our cholesterol levels go through the roof. And we wonder what happened. We're drinking milk. We got that little mustache on our face as we get in the damn grave, you know, in the casket. Think about it. It's true. It's true. And then, now this, we get down. When I was in high school, the most dangerous chemical we had in my chemistry class was bromine. It was a double flask. Remember bromine? Some of you guys got to be my age, you know. Go back. Yeah, all right, bromine, there we go. Well, what do they put on strawberries? Bromide. Oh, yeah. What do they put on tomatoes? Arsenic. Yeah. Get that out. It's down in the DNA. You cannot get that out. But they don't want you to take it out. They want you to go over the edge. Remember, just flash back today how many people didn't use their turn signals. Okay? Just use that as a reference direction. It's true. And how many of people don't function anymore? You guys have to be semi-functional in order to get it together to come here to this convention. I have to give you that much. Okay? And I got to be somewhat functional to deal with these airlines to get here in front of you almost on time. I was only 5 minutes late. So we got something in common. We can get there if we really work on it, but how many brain deads did you have to deal with today to get here? Or yesterday, or whenever you came? Did you ever notice that? It's really interesting, isn't it? Really interesting. So, we go back to the National Health Federation, which I mentioned earlier. Okay, I told you a little about their history and what we did. And we find President Clinton, you know, after Monica Lewinsky, he had to apologize for the second thing, was that President Clinton says, I apologize because we put in 1960 cancer, we inoculated 1 million people down in Mobile, Alabama with a cancer virus under the polio vaccine auspices. President Clinton apologized for that, okay? Oh, yeah. And then in 1978, when we got really brilliant over at Langley, and I've been to Langley many times. I've been to Quantico. I've been all over Washington as a whatever electronic specialist, whatever I did, I was there all the time, spent years there. Read my book, you'll understand some of the things I've done. I've been there. I've been to over 3,000 companies. I've stood at the Atomic Energy Commission out in New Mexico like this, my foot on a nuclear warhead, giving a lecture on how sampling oscilloscopes keep these bombs alive so they don't deteriorate and we know they're going to go off when we trigger them. I've been here, done that. So, going back, here we are, looking at what happened in the past. Suddenly, Langley gets an idea. In 1981, this came out. It's called the Haig-Kissinger Depopulation Policy, a Lyndon LaRoche publication. You can get it by calling up Washington for the Executive Intelligence Review magazine, EIR magazine. Okay, you want the March of 81 issue. But there, they actually slipped and admitted that herpes introduced, you know, genetically into colleges where promiscuous sex was pretty popular, spread herpes 1, 2, and 3. And from that, they got the idea for mixing a cattle bovine and a sheep Vishnu virus together. And in 1978, they injected that in 2,000 people in San Francisco under the hepatitis B, you know, which is good for that kind of renal exercise that these guys do, and killed 2,000 homosexuals. Then they hauled it down to South Africa and just cut loose down there. You know, and then they took it over to Thailand, and Bangkok, which just, they went, you know, if you don't know anything about the cultures of the Asian countries over there, these boys over there got to have sex a lot. And perfect place to spread it, and they did. Meanwhile, a guy, we had a crash in 1980 up in the Dulce Archuleta Mesa area with the Hickory Apaches of one of these experimental flying saucers, which we call in the Air Force a Delta Bomber, which had a plutonium spill, and it crashed. And Paul Benowitz, who worked for Thunder Corporation, which was located right out at the gate of Kirtland Air Force Base in Albuquerque, photographed a ship on the ground with nets over it with three different disks around it. And I've seen this, not the photographs, I've seen the disks. And all of this radiation plutonium spilled down into this river, which is right next to Archuleta Mesa, and wiped out the Apaches' seven different lakes of fishing. That was their big industry up until this crash happened in 81. So Paul Benowitz was real intrigued by this after, you know, bringing this out to the public, getting everything in his body tapped, including his telephone. He started looking at these abductions of graves. And one of the first ones was Myrna Hansen in 1981. Her and her daughter was one of the first, before Betty and Barney Hill, early. But Myrna Hansen was abducted. And she came to Paul. Paul started a study. You know, later on came these other guys that do this, these kinds of studies now, like Bud Hopkins, for example. But this is the early days. And we took her, and I don't have my slide thing on, but we have pictures of the implants these grays put in her brain, implants. Now, it began to be really interesting to see what the implants do when they're activated. The first historical activation occurred a few years later in 1984, okay, in Austin, Texas, a guy by the name of Whitney. And he started having these flashes, and he was a very Christian kind of a person. And he said he was going to kill his wife, which he did. And then he went up on a school on the tower of the Austin University of Austin, Texas school, and shot 14 people before they took him out. When they took him out, they took him into a hospital. It was on national TV. They had a movie out. They had made a movie on ABC nationwide that this guy had, in fact, in his brain, two implants. But how does that work in our society? The way that works is that incident, which triggered many others, is where they start deregulating freedoms. In this case, it was the first deregulation against semi-automatic weapons, because that's what he had. Now, there's nothing wrong with weapons deregulation, but it's the way that the government's going about it that doesn't make sense. And that brings us up, obviously, to the present. We start dealing with the schoolyard situations, which is much more serious. Now, first, you got to understand schoolyard shootings. You got to understand a few things. First of all, you have to understand that up until about 12,000 years ago, we lived like Methuselah and a lot of other people. We lived 500, 600, 700 years. Okay, 12,000 years ago. Now, what does that mean? 12,000 years is one half of the rotation of our solar system around a star system called the Pleiades. You know, I think it talks about in the Bible. You shall be bound down by the belts of Orion, you should be set free by the sweet influence of the Pleiades. It goes right into Scripture if you want to go there. Basically, it takes us 25,827.5 years to make one precession of the equinox around the Pleiades. If I took the Great Pyramid in Egypt and look at how many inches it takes to go around it, I'm going to find 25,827.5 pyramid inches around the entire base of the pyramid. Ancient soil must have had something together when they figured that one out. Which is also the dimensions of the carbon atom in your body, which oxygen, hydrogen, and nitrogen hook to make your consciousness happen. Okay? So start looking at that. In that period, as we go around the Pleiades, we have 2,250-year cycles. Each one of those cycles determines the DNA frequency and the expressional level of the soul that's going to incarnate into that body made up of this DNA. So if I go back to the Piscean age, I have one frequency, the past. If I come to the present and the future, I'm in the Aquarian age, I have another frequency of DNA. Different level of integrity of the soul incarnating. However, the last 2,000 Piscean souls, 2,000 years, dear souls, were believers. They weren't knowers. Wasn't their time to come and incarnate as knowers. Their time to learn, believers. So they came here and structured religion. They structured government to regulate religion. And then they went out and had holy wars. Okay, that's Dharma. That's what we see in Kosovo, you know, still, in Africa. But more so in Europe than we do in Africa. Africa is just pure greed at this point. So they had holy wars. Now, we today live in an age we know. I mean, I don't think there's a person in this audience that can't walk out the door and see something different, something askew, with people that how they behave outside of this room as they would have behaved when we were younger, when our clarity was a little bit better. I doubt that there's a person in here that can see there's not a problem going on and it's getting worse. But luckily, you have the vision to see the discrepancy. And you have the will and the power to do something about it. All you have to do is have it brought to your attention by some idiot like me. And you say, two idiots in a fishbowl is better than the government, you know. It's true. They're in the fishbowl. You know, they just slaughtered one of the FBI sites the other day, the hackers. They took it right out. You know, it's really interesting what they did. But you get to start to see what's going on here, you know. You start to understand. Today, the knowers are incarnating. They don't need a Global 2000 report. They don't need a Bible. They don't need religion. God is in integrity. It's about being who you are, being honest, treating people like you want to be treated, and that's integrity. Okay? That's where we have to go. That's really hard in a society that people are living beyond their means, and they don't have time to think about the fact that they are in denial. Okay? And that's not just here. This is everywhere on this planet. Where there's any kind of industrialization, it's everywhere. Unfortunately, it's true. So we have to look at that. That's kind of interesting. So with that in mind, we begin to start to see where we are in the present time. Now, let's look at souls. Okay, if I'm standing here and I'm getting my hydrogen atoms, you know, fired up with my seven levels of consciousness, which we described, and there's nobody on this planet. There's nobody here in this world but me. I'm just walking around here. I'm God. I'm the king. You know, I'm the greatest thing ever. Who the hell is going to argue with that? Because I'm the only one here. I can be whatever I want. I have no personality. I have ultimate ego, but no personality. But then God creates Eve. You're not. You didn't pick the trash out last night. You're not God. You didn't do this. Oh, shit. God, I've got a personality to deal with here, right? Now I'm a personality, and I'm dealing with another person, and suddenly I'm 50%.